On this episode of the Formula Fun Podcast, Eric and I discuss the Hungarian Grand Prix, driver changes, silly season stuff, whether Gasly is horrible or just plain bad, dream teams, future dream team lineups, all kinds of stuff, even beer. We talked a little bit about beer today. So, you know, we pretty much covered all. And I have a feeling you're going to love it, so stick around. Live Oak Heffa? Love it. I'm gonna go get a beer right now. Hold on one second. Hold on, I can't hear you. Hold on, I took my headphones out. One sec. Carbach has this Crawford Bock. Have you seen that shit?
I've seen that. The Astros beer, is it any good?
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's all right.
Well, I think all the listeners want to know, how was your golf?
Oh, pretty good. Bro.
Where'd you play?
Man, I'm disappointed in this webcam. We played at Cinco Ranch Golf Club, the golf club of Cinco Ranch.
I've heard of it.
Pretty good. Dude, on the very first hole, I shit you not. I got to stop cursing. I got to remember to not curse. I'm going to try to. Bro, I sank like a 48-foot putt.
On the first hole.
For par. Yeah, on the very first hole for par. So, First shot in the center of the fairway, second shot off the green, third shot up on the green, and then just draino from 50 feet away. Like, of course, I don't know exactly how far away it was, but far. Like, once in a lifetime putt.
That's about how Max Verstappen felt going into the first corner today.
Yeah,
actually being able to get off the line.
It was a good start today for Max. Are you pulling for Matt? Like, I was going for him. I didn't really anticipate that, but I was like pumping my fist and like cheering. Like, I'm going for Max.
100%. And I mean, for the good of the sport, Gasly just needs to go.
Yeah.
I mean, if today didn't show that he's not capable. And if he's not replaced by the end of the break, it just basically shows that Red Bull doesn't care about the Constructors' Championship. But, like, I think you root for Max more because you see how much he's outperforming his teammate, that you just see how good of a driver he is. But, like, I think everybody was rooting for Max. And
yeah.
And, I mean, we probably don't want to start there. We probably want to kind of go through the beginning of the race. But, it's... If you take out the French Grand Prix, I mean, like, almost every single race this year has really delivered and been just entertaining for different reasons. But, I mean, it looks like we actually have, like, a competition on the hand, even for the Drivers' Championship.
Ooh, yeah.
A couple weeks ago, you know, we just kind of just looked like Lewis is going to coast to the finish, you know?
Yeah, you have to wonder if Max had been on this form from the beginning of the season, what kind of, like, would we be talking about a two-man driver championship race?
I don't think it's Max not being on his form. I think it's just the progression Honda has made throughout the season. And the rate they're progressing, I don't know what the ceiling of that is, but if they stay on this, like, trajectory, they're going to pass Mercedes, which is just... You know, unbelievable. What a story. I mean,
yeah, that is quite a story. I love it.
Ferrari was 20 seconds away from being lapped, both cars.
Yeah, weird day for Ferrari. Didn't go well for Ferrari today.
Did not go well for Ferrari.
I mean, finished third and fourth, but yeah, like you said, I mean.
Did not go well for Bottas either.
Speaking of getting replaced.
Blame on the contact with Leclerc, but I don't know if you watched practice or qualifying, but
a little bit.
Mercedes had problems all week with the brakes, the cooling, and with the power units, and you could see Hamilton and Bottas both having their brakes overheating, having issues with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of people getting replaced, we can say the same thing about Bottas, maybe. Maybe not by the break. They're probably not going to replace him in the middle of the year, but...
I saw rumors about Russell, they moved in, or Ocon or something, but I still like Valtteri. I still think he's put out performance. I think every time that he's not performed, it's been a technical issue or it's been something else.
What about today? Fully blaming Leclerc for that?
I'm not totally blaming him for it, but, you know, obviously... I actually thought Bottas was going to be able to climb through the field more than he was able to do. Part of that might have been him going on the hard compound tires so early, having to work those in for a few laps and just being a couple seconds slower than everybody else who's either on the soft or intermediate. I actually learned today, I did not know they had to use two of the three compounds, because I was just like, why wouldn't they go back on the intermediates? Why are they using the hards? But I didn't know that you have to use both. And
you have to use at least two. Yeah.
And it looks like, I think 7 through 11 maybe gambled and started on the soft. And it didn't work out. I mean, you can see Grosjean was the first one that pitted because he started on the soft. And then he went onto the hards and he just slowly... kind of drop through. And I saw he DNF'd, but I never saw why he DNF'd.
Now can you see me?
I can see it now.
Ah, I just had the little camera thing turned off.
There you go. Just had to take
hey, buddy.
What's up?
Hey.
But cool. Do you know why Grosjean DNF'd?
Water leak.
Okay.
Water leak is what I heard. But was that pretty early on in the race?
Or no,
was that later on?
That was like lap 40 for 250.
Okay.
One of the things I had in my notes was, did you see the close racing between Albon and Kvyat?
Yeah. That was great racing.
This is what you do, you know? You go off the track before you
run
turn
into your teammate
to try and take back your line. And then... I think it was Magnussen was racing against.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Norris.
And
he gave Norris more respect than he gives his teammate.
I know. Okay, so what I'm wondering is that. Okay, it's just one example, but does that help prove that these racing incidents, these wrecks, collisions are more Grosjean's fault than Magnussen's fault? Because Magnussen can go wheel to wheel with Norris. And there was one other, I didn't think you were going to say Norris. I thought you were going to say someone else, because I thought the exact same thing, because there was one other instance during the race where Magnussen was like through a hairpin wheel to wheel with somebody.
Defended super hard. It was against Renault. It was against...
maybe it was Ricardo. Maybe.
There was a Twitter bat. The two teams tweeted at each other.
Oh, great.
Renault tweeted at Haas, and Haas replied, you know, we call it defending, blah, blah, blah.
But oh, sweet. I didn't see that.
Grosjean has proved he's faster. And,
yeah.
But Magnussen is, like you said, the Viking.
He's racier.
Yeah, we'll give up. But Grosjean just needs to be more consistent. But I think what's going to happen is they're going to get rid of both, because I think both
are...
cancer is a bad word, but I think they need a new, fresh start. I think there's just too much. The wound is too deep.
Who do you bring in? I guess that's hard to say because you gotta
build.
Huh? You build? You fill?
Rebuild.
Oh, rebuild. I can't remember if it's Haas.
Get Esteban.
Yeah. Esteban and maybe Checo Perez, Sergio Perez.
Can F1 do like soccer does, where if Ocon's kind of sitting on the bench, they can lend him to Williams?
That was Carlos Sainz's situation until this year.
Driver of the day too.
Fifth. I'm just gonna finish fifth today. Excuse me, please.
I was a lap down, but he basically won. He won the Formula 1.5.
Right. But yeah, he was a Red Bull driver. Like, he was at Toro Rosso with Max, and then Max went to Red Bull, Carlos never made it to Red Bull. Like, they didn't have a place for him on either of the teams, and so they quote-unquote loaned him. Or I don't know how it worked, but he was still a member of the Red Bull driver program while he was driving for Renault last year. Like, he still had Red Bull logos on his helmet and everything, but he was driving for Renault. And then he, like, got released from his contract or whatever. He's not under any obligation now to he has no obligation to Red Bull anymore. I'm going to close the store because I think it might make it sound better. Hold on.
You know who else I think needs to not be in the sport anymore or on a team?
Lance Stroll?
No, Kubica.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got to go. Yeah. It's so sad.
Like 40 seconds behind, just...
He's got one arm, sadly.
Is it Giovinazzi?
Giovinazzi. It's like Giovinazzi, not Giovinazzi.
I think Kimi's won Hungary like 5 times, and he's obviously really good at this track. Yeah. But when your teammate is top 10 and you're 18th.
Yeah, Giovinazzi had a bad day, too. Is that what you're saying? Giovinazzi was nowhere? Yeah.
Yeah,
Kubica, man. Kubica is an interesting story because...
He hasn't had a win, but he's got the record for, like, the longest without a point, not even.
He got a point this year. Last race.
Okay, so I think you're thinking of
win.
I think the record – no, I think he had the longest days in between points.
Yeah, okay.
Like three or 4 years.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, but so do you know the whole Kubica story? Do you know
No, but I know he's a veteran, and I know he's probably there more as a locker room quote-unquote role, probably to, you
brings
know,
a lot of
mentor.
Money too.
Yeah, but at some point you need to score points too.
Dude, okay, so this is you got to know the Kubica story, or Kubica, or however you say it. I think it's one
Kubica,
of those.
Depends on, yeah, who's announcing.
Yeah. Okay, so super fast driver. He's about Lewis and Seb's age, so yeah, he's a little bit older. Grew up racing and beating those guys. Polish?
Guy's
Polish
got a
dude.
Receding hairline.
Like, yeah. He's an unfortunate looking dude.
Way older than Lewis Hamilton.
I know he does. He looks ancient.
He's
but,
the oldest driver after since Alonso retired. He's the oldest driver in the field by a good margin. Raikkonen. Raikkonen's also up there.
Yeah, Raikkonen's 40, I think, isn't he? No, he can't be that old. Is he 40? Anyway, but we can Google it. Google it while I say this, because you should know this. Kubica was like. Extremely highly rated as an amateur 39. And as a young driver, 39.
Kimi, 39, and Quebec's 34. Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's only like 34. Yeah, I think he'd be older than that.
And Lewis is 34, so
yeah,
you're right.
Quebec's I think that they're the same age as Lewis.
But they're both 2 years older than Sebastian. Wow.
I know.
Lewis.
Sebastian's younger than me. It's so sad.
Yeah.
I am older than Sebastian Vettel.
But keep going.
Okay, so Kubica was highly rated as an amateur and junior driver who, like, bested all of the competition that he grew up with in karting and in the lower formulas, and then was very, very good as a Formula One driver in his early days as a Formula One driver. Wherever he drove, I forget, it was like Williams or Sauber or something or whatever. He was slated for a Ferrari drive. This was back in, like, 2010, maybe something like that. And then I think in 2011, he got in a horrible, horrible rally car accident.
Near fatal crash in the year
2011. Yeah. And he, if you ever notice about him, he has like a cripply right arm. So you can watch like onboards of him driving. He is literally like physically disabled. Like he cannot.
Something, yeah.
He cannot turn the wheel with both arms.
Compound fractures to his suffered a partial amputation of his forearm.
I know he has like pieces missing of his arm.
Right elbow, shoulder, and leg as well as the neck. Wow.
Yeah, dude. Look, try to find.
I'm actually kind of rooting for him now. Just.
I know. Okay. Good.
Still be competing.
Yeah, I know. He is a comeback story. So he had that nearly fatal accident. He couldn't drive. You know, he could barely almost lost his right arm. Couldn't do anything. Not to mention like other injuries to his body too, but specifically his arm, which you need to drive, obviously. And then like makes it back into Formula One this year. So he hasn't been in Formula One since that accident.
Oh wow, I didn't know that. Man.
Yeah,
wow.
And so this is like his redemption story.
Who did he replace on Williams then?
Who do I think what?
Who did he replace on Williams this year? Do you know?
Yeah, Lance Stroll left to go to Racing Point. They were called Forts, and yeah, because his dad literally just bought the team.
Love it. Love it when your dad just donates a bunch of money to the university and you get a scholarship.
Yeah. I mean, my dad could buy me a racing team and I'd be slow as hell. At least Lance Stroll has some skill.
I think Lance has actually had a couple, you know, in his defense, I think he's had a couple of decent performances. So here's one thing I want to bring up real quick before I forget about it. I really noticed today one thing that I think really affected the race. Did you see when Ricciardo kind of blocked Max when Hamilton, right before he passed?
Hamilton kind of caught up to him.
The rule is that they have to get off the racing line, right? If they're lapped down.
I think they have like two sets of flags to move.
That change in momentum, like I will say Hamilton probably would have passed him eventually in the next couple laps because of him, you know, having fresher tires, et cetera. But That was huge.
And I thought the same thing. I thought, it's going to be so frustrating when he gets passed behind one of these back markers.
There needs to be a penalty. That needs to be something so damaging to Ricciardo, maybe back of the grid penalty or something that, like, he doesn't ever do that again. Because that to me was unacceptable because you see these guys going so fast and they have to go through the whole grid and you don't want something like that to be affecting the race.
Yeah. The back markers do have to get out of the way. That is the rule. They're waved blue flags, and I think they have two. Like the blue flags are at intervals throughout the racetrack, and
like
I think they have
on their LCD problem.
And I think they have to be shown two sets of blue flags. They have two blue flags before they have to move. So like they can continue their race after the first blue flag,
honestly,
and then they.
Shouldn't even be like that. It should just be like, dude, you're a lap down. Unless you're fighting with another guy that's lap down, you need to, just as a respect like of the drivers.
Yeah,
they
interesting.
They should be getting over.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective because some people, I don't know if I feel strongly about it one way or the other. I think the system works pretty well the way it works right
really
now.
Think,
it can be frustrating
really
though, but
I really think if that wouldn't have happened, there was a small, very small chance that Max could have held off Lewis if he could have kept his. Normal is like six laps to go or something like that. Like it's not extremely out of the ordinary that had that not been, you know, the result that he could have held him.
Right.
But nobody else was talking about it, so it must not have been that big of a.
Yeah, I mean, I like your opinion though. Some people fall on the other side of the story and say like it's racing, like you should have to pass the car, you know. Like, maybe they're a lap down, but, like, you should have to pass a car on a track. Like, they're not going to get out of your way because it's fucking racing.
And Otas is purposely trying to hold him up because Lewis is trying to chase him.
Get by him. Get around him. It's racing.
I mean, you could...
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Like I said, I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I'm just saying that's the argument against your position is it's racing. You should have to pass them. You should have to fight hard for every position.
That's true, but the drivers have to be held to some sort of a standard or they're just going to be wrecking each other out there over personal vendettas and you are my teammate.
Right, and then whole team battles get brought into the picture too. Man, interesting race.
On, it seemed to me that the theme for today was tires.
Yeah,
and,
tire race.
What I found amazing was about mid through the race, Max was just begging to pit and his team wouldn't let him. And you could tell twice Mercedes asked Hamilton to pit and he didn't pit.
Yeah, that was interesting too.
Guys out there to pit and Hamilton wouldn't pit and they wouldn't show his radio saying like, no, I'm not pitting, but you know that's what it is. Because you can't send your guys out unless you're meeting.
You're not
pit.
Supposed to.
It's like, no, I'm good. I can go more laps. That was the difference to me, I think, between the races. Hamilton being able to manage his mediums longer than Max.
Yeah.
But just seeing, like, Max wanting to pit so bad, and maybe if they would have let Max pit better, he would have been able to manage the second set. I guess he would have been on the hards.
I think he would have gone on mediums like Lewis did. It would have gone soft, hard, medium.
He could have pitted then, and then maybe they could have put him on soft 5 or 10 laps before they did at the end to get – the fastest lap, maybe he could have had to catch back up.
I know that's that. It was an interesting race by Mercedes. You have to hand it to them for pulling that strategy off. Good strategy. I mean, they were like, we're in second place. We're not going to catch him on track. Well, they did catch him on track, but because of strategy, I mean, and Red Bull would have just had to respond immediately. As soon as Hamilton came in, they would have had to cover him. You know, they would have had to come in that lap.
There was a point where they were where like, he's going to go first. And whoever goes first, it's almost like you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this is beside the point. Well, it depends who goes first or who goes second. It depends on like their distances from each other on track and traffic and all that. But this is a little bit beside the point, but I couldn't help but notice, and this might be me being hypercritical of Ferrari at this point, because I think it's easy to be hypercritical of Ferrari right now. But, man, when Red Bull goes out to do their pit stops, they're like super chill. They're in control. They're even like walking to the pit stop area, you know? And
confident,
man. And then they go and they're like, 1.8 seconds, you know, world record, right?
Maybe 2.4 if it's bad.
2.4 is a bad pit stop. I know they had a slow pit stop today that was 2.6 seconds or something, right? Mercedes too, of course. Mercedes, maybe a little bit of a light jog, you know, but they're well oiled. Man, when Ferrari goes out for a pit stop, it is gangbusters. It is like they're running and somebody's like, oh, wait, no, I forgot. Hold on, let me go. And he's got to go back to the garage for something. And the guy's desperately getting out there with the tire at the last second. Like, can they get anything right?
Like, that's how big of a shit show their season has been, where there's probably just so much anxiety in every single person, from the team principal with those little glasses that won't speak to the media,
Harry Potter,
all the way down to the guy who's like, you know, just getting water for Charles, and he gets the wrong flavor, and Charles is just can't perform.
Charles.
But I mean, it's just it's insane. I think they have the biggest budget by like 50% for Mercedes in there. But honestly, like, McLaren's almost racing against them. Carlos Sainz was almost racing against them.
I know, and I found it interesting too. Speaking of, like you mentioned earlier, how the Honda engine is almost as good as their Mercedes. Notice we've like totally bypassed the whole is Honda better than Ferrari question. It's just like assumed that they are already. It's like they went from being like middling Honda to like we're better than Ferrari all of a sudden. Like, how did that happen really quickly and suddenly?
Are we better or is Max better?
No, Max is better. Like, oh yeah. Red Bull as an entity is better.
Okay, but you put Kimi in a Red Bull.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Kimmy's beating Charles and he's beating Sebastian today.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I just like to
race. I don't really care what team I'm on. I just want to drive around the track.
Just want to race for my kids.
Yeah, just need to make that money. But yeah, so I don't know. I just noticed that about the Ferrari pit stop. They were just like, that same like I was joking about Mercedes last week. And they just wear so much red. You don't have to wear so much red. Like, I get it. Red is your color. But, like, red pants don't look good. Period.
What's interesting,
just wear khaki
pants.
So
maybe it's just a Sky broadcast, but they only talk to Christian Horner.
They love Christian Horner.
They talk to Christian Horner, like, and I like him, but they talk to him. Is that just because
he's accessible,
just like,
maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's so good for the brand. It's so good for the team.
Yeah.
Sports is all about getting a personalized relationship with the players. If you watch a Hard Knocks about the Oakland Raiders, all of a sudden you're rooting for every single player on the Oakland Raiders because you see the personal connection of just human beings. Like, any team could be doing that, and Red Bull is taking advantage of it more than other people. And let me finish. When you let McLaren and Red Bull just get even a taste of this, it's going to motivate their whole team and everybody so much more. And it's going to have the opposite effect at Mercedes and Ferrari when they're like, you know, damn, like we're not high and above. We got this Max guy breathing down our neck. Like, not to worry about Ferrari anymore, but now all of a sudden we're worrying about Red Bull.
Red Bull again, which is awesome.
About.
Yeah. Isn't it great that Red Bull's like back?
Yeah.
Well, Max is back, but it seems that way at least. It seems Red Bull's back. It seems like if the season started, you know, what was the race after France? Silverstone?
It almost feels like the season is restarting.
I know, like, it does, right? Doesn't it kind of feel that way?
Like, right towards the end, like, there's been a total reshuffling, and it's like, this is where we're at. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it does kind of feel that way. But yeah, if the season did restart now, Max would fight Lewis for the championship. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah. Here's a random, like, kind of Formula One noob question, which just confuses me while I'm watching these races. You see all these cars, like, dive into these turns, and they have these lockups where only one wheel is locking up.
Uh-huh.
Are they? Can they control the different brake pressure on each four wheels? Like, or why is just the left front locking up and not the right front too? Or why are not all tires locking up simultaneously?
Good question. So I'll try to answer that as best I can. I guess people can email me and tell me I'm wrong, right? Oh, we need to set that up. At
Formula One, Formula Fun Podcast.
Yeah. I was I set up an email for the show, Gmail, to just like use for
Formula Fun Podcast.
It's a power unit at gmail.com, which I thought was kind of funny. I was trying to be funny when I did it. I thought it was funny at the time, past tense. So yes, they can control how much braking goes. Not necessarily to each tire, although I don't think they control that from that the steering wheel.
That's what I would think, though. I would think it would be brake pedal, but then on the steering wheel, maybe they can hit like
a brake bias. It's called brake bias, and they can shift it from front to back.
Put more energy into
from towards to the front brakes or the back brakes. So if I want, if there's 100% braking power, and I want 80% of it on the front and 20% of it on the rear or whatever, and I can adjust that on my steering wheel throughout the race.
And they
adjust that a lot.
The brake just grabs sooner than the right one does, and that creates a lockup.
Well, that gets me into the second part of the answer to your question, which is, if you think about, I can't see myself, can you see my hand? You see my hand all right? Right? Mm-hmm. If you think about, obviously, like as a car accelerates, you know, the attitude, it's called the attitude of the car. You know, the weight is going to go into the rear wheels as the car, as you decelerate, the weight is going to go into the front wheels.
And if you're turning, it's on the outside.
Yes. Yes. So if I'm turning right, then the weight is, my loaded tire is the front left tire. So I have the best chance of locking up that tire. So, yeah.
Because Mercedes, that was kind of the story of the first 15 laps, was Mercedes just locking up, and they had brake issues in practice too, which... And so this is the first time I've really watched, you know, the first, like, all the practices. And maybe it was a short turnaround, but it seemed like there were a lot of issues.
Yeah, you texted me about that. And you were like, are the cars usually trash at the beginning of the weekend? And I was like, no, not really.
Well, usually they have 2 weeks, not 3 days.
Yeah, but honestly, I mean, they do spend a fair amount of time, like, figuring out issues during practice, you know?
3 weeks. Even this week, Ferrari was upgrading their aerodynamics on their sides.
Yep. Yeah, I was reading about that, yeah.
Yeah, they had Leclerc running it at first in practice, and then later they put it on Sebastian. So.
Right. Man, that's another thing I think I put in the notes for the Hungarian preview about Ferrari's aerodynamics and just like kind of the language they use surrounding their updates, like... I don't really know how to describe it, but it feels like they're so much more uncertain, Ferrari is, than like Mercedes. When Mercedes just like consistently, constantly gets better, it's not a huge story. I mean, we hear about it when we're like, Mercedes is bringing this upgrade, or they're bringing this upgrade, or they're, you know, new spec engine, blah, blah, blah. But Ferrari, it's like, yeah, we brought this upgrade. We sure hope it works. Like, we got our fingers crossed, you know, it sounds worse.
I think they're completely lost, because it looks like they were going to dominate at Bahrain. And it almost looks like Mercedes was kind of just like
beginning of the end.
Our performance level, we're going to start it in the middle and just see where everybody else is at. Like, we don't want to, you know, put all our horses in at the first race till we see where Ferrari's at. And you even saw when Lewis ended up winning that race against Leclerc, he was like on the radio, "We got a lot of work to do."
To get
up with these guys, which I think was a little bit of a bluff, and I think they knew that they had to beat those guys, and they weren't just going to show it in the first race. But
yeah. Max said something.
I mean, if you're a Ferrari fan, you're drinking heavily right now.
Yeah. But why? Because you're Italian.
Because you're depressed.
Yeah. No. God, it would suck to be a Ferrari fan. To be a Ferrari, I'm so glad I'm not a Ferrari. Like, I didn't choose to not be a Ferrari fan. I'm just naturally not. I'm really glad. It's kind of like having brown hair.
I always loved their cars growing up. I'd love to see him do well. But so the last thing I have written down, my big takeaway for the race is that Haas and Renault are just in the bottom third, and I don't think they're going to be able to get away from the bottom third, and they're just sitting there competing for 12th and 13th, and it's just...
Yeah, Haas, sad. It's sad. It's a sad situation.
And Renault.
Renault too. Sad. Renault, I was reading...
Ricardo can't even score points.
Well, Ricardo had to start from the back of the grid because he took a new engine,
He took a new power unit. Yeah, he started 18th. Vettel started 19th and finished second.
But yeah, I don't have any love for Renault, so I don't really... It sucks that they suck. I wish that they were better for the good of the sport. Like, it would be better if they were good.
There's four main engine providers, and they're one of them. When you're that bad as you're one of the main engine providers, it's like, well, how long until nobody's running a Renault engine? How long until Renault is not running a Renault engine and they're running a Honda?
No kidding. And do you know the whole drama about the McLaren Honda Renault engine switch? There's a whole, I haven't watched it, but there's a whole documentary series that like documents this. McLaren had Honda engines in 2014. They switched to Honda engines and they were horrible, horrible, horrible. They were blowing up all of the time, or maybe it was 2015. I forget, but whatever. But this was when Honda first came back into the sport and McLaren was their first customer. They were the only customer. And the Honda engines they were so bad. They were 100 times worse than the Renault engines are now. Like, can't even get the car started type bad. Like, I can't, anyway. And so McLaren gave up on Honda, like, right as they came good. They switched to Renault. And so now Honda is, like, powering the Red Bull to victories, and McLaren is stuck with Renault.
So Renault's good at selling Ricardo and these guys, and they just can't deliver.
I guess, man. They're salesmen. They're salesmen, all right. Exactly. They're like, oh, look at our.
So one thing.
Look at our facility.
Another thing I wrote down, forgot to mention, was Albon again just keeps pushing it too hard in practice and kind of ruining his chances. Now, I don't think you can blame Monaco on him because I think a manhole cover like got sucked up into his car, but like you can't be wrecking your car in practice.
Yeah, Leclerc wrecked in practice too. That we didn't talk about that. That wasn't good. No, Leclerc wrecked in qualifying. He wrecked in qualifying in Q1.
Did he wreck?
Yeah.
Did he like spin out?
He spun out and hit the wall. But, I mean, it wasn't a bad wreck, but it was a Q1 shunt.
I mean, Albon went off the track and hit the grass and just like wrecked. Like he could have had a concussion. Like
that's right. Yeah, I remember seeing that. He hit sideways. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember seeing that. Yeah. So you think he's just pushing too hard?
I mean, I think he's pushing too hard at the wrong times. Think he need to push hard maybe in qualifying, but I mean, he the second time he's wrecked his car. I can't think of anybody else who's wrecked their car twice in practice this year.
No, I can't either. Not this year. Max would be like, hold my beer.
Assuming you're that young and gunning for a Gasly seat in the next couple weeks.
In the next couple weeks, I know. You say that again.
Honestly, if they don't switch, if Gasly's there in 3 weeks, then like I would be super surprised.
Yeah, I would be too. I mean, he had another horrible race. He was a second slower than Max.
And he made it up a little bit mid-race, but, like, honestly, he's not mentally prepared at the start of these races. Because, I mean, you're in a good car. You're starting sixth. You can't just get passed by McLaren and Alfa Romeo and Renault at the start of the race. Like, there's no excuse unless you're...
No excuse for that. To go, I think he started sixth and was ninth by the end of the first lap or something like that. Ran ninth for a long time.
Yeah, it's basically just become the storyline of how bad he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. Not good for old Gasly. He'll be replaced. No, he'll be replaced.
I imagine, though, over 3 weeks, there could be a lot of changes. I mean, they say these guys have weeks off, but I'm sure their factories are going to be, especially Ferrari, is going to be.
Toto Wolff.
Scrambling to try to figure out.
Toto said that speaking of scrambling to figure things out, that Mercedes would have Bottas's situation figured out by the end of summer break.
So is it like a contract thing? Is he like in a contract year or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just this year. That's his only contract year right now. I don't think they should keep him, man. I like him too. Valtteri Bottas. I like him. He's good. He's a good guy. He seems like a lad. Seems like the kind of guy that you would have a beer with.
He's into the Sims, which you like.
Yeah, he the sim racing.
Started as like a sim driver.
Dude, he's a good driver. He's good. You know, he's really good. I mean, the question at this point is just like,
well,
is he good?
And he's going to be somewhere else. Well,
yeah,
he
I think so. Dude,
Max and both.
Yeah, Valtteri.
Who is so your dream scenario? Who is Max driving with? Because for me, it's Bottas or Raikkonen. But who's? Because I just don't know enough about these young guys and trust them. And it's you know, big. So, but what's your dream scenario for Max? What do you think?
Man, that's a tough question. Is this scenario? In this scenario, does Max stay at Red Bull or can he leave and go to any team I want?
You want him to go to Mercedes?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I want him to go to Mercedes. I do. That would just be so sick. I mean, come on.
I just feel like Christian, that's the only thing Christian has right now is Max, and there's no way he's giving that up.
What's happening here? There we go. Okay. Yeah. Why is it happening? Sorry, I'm such an idiot. I'm trying to figure out how I can see myself and you, but I'm not going to do that at the same time as I do this. Yeah, my dream scenario would be that Max goes to Mercedes and races against Lewis at Mercedes in the Mercedes.
In the same car just to see who's the better driver.
Yeah. 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 My second dream scenario, which I think might actually happen, which is cool, is that he stays at Red Bull and Red Bull keeps improving. That would be awesome. I'd love that.
Goes back to the Red Bull of old.
Yeah. And the Red Bull's winning maybe championships again. And that if in that case, who would I want to see him drive against? It's not going to be Lewis. Lewis isn't going to go from Mercedes to Red Bull. Dream scenario, Red Bull teammate for Max. That's a good question. Daniel Ricciardo was so good. I don't know. That's so sad that he left that team. Lando Norris, maybe? Yeah. I like me some Lando Norris.
That'd probably be the easiest transition because it's almost kind of within the same corporation. It's actually funny. 3 days ago, Lewis was asked, would he kind of, you know, like him being on his team? And he said he would relish in that.
Yeah.
And he would.
I put that in my notes too. He said he wouldn't mind, I think, or something like that. Where is it? Yeah. I know. Yeah. Which is, that's the right attitude. What are you going to say? Like, no, I don't want Max as a teammate. Lewis is smarter than that. Have you noticed how Lewis is going for like the trucker, like the mid-90s, I play baseball look? Have you noticed that?
I have not noticed that, but I have noticed that the 90s are
back. Yeah.
Did you see that Ricciardo after the race flicked off Magnussen?
Oh, really? No? Magnussen's always drawing everyone's ire.
Yeah, it was a former teammate. Who was it that he flicked off?
Max.
I just saw it on wouldn't have been Max. I just saw it on Reddit.
While you're doing that, I'll say who was it?
It's still loading.
Oh, is there a video of it?
Yeah.
Was he joking? Was he being playful, or is he?
No, it looked like he was flicking him off for real.
Like while they were still in their cars, like he's driving by and he flicked them off. Old
right,
school.
Like right after, like right at the finish. Yeah,
that's a good feeling. So,
I was to Magnussen. Daniel Ricciardo sends his regards to K Mag after the Hungarian Grand Prix. K Mag passes him and he flicks him off with his left hand as he drives by. Clearly,
I wonder why. Aside from that, Magnussen battled him for position for a lot of the race.
They battled for a while, I think. before they let Grosjean pass him because Grosjean was on the soft and they were trying to gamble. Which, I mean, at least they showed a semblance of teamwork today with that.
Awesome.
Apparently they bickered on the radio for like two laps about him passing him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, about letting him by. Oh, yeah, they had kind of an orchestrated pass.
The Haas teams. Grosjean had just pitted. He was on the soft.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got a big break here.
I know. It's kind of sad. I don't know how I feel.
I'm sure next week we can hop on and talk about news. Maybe there's a new seat at Red Bull that we can talk about.
Yeah, that would be news. News that I anticipate happening over the break is that we're going to hear about Bottas' seat over the break. Those are two main things. It sucks to have such a long break in a sport.
It'll be nice, though. It'll be the anticipation for when it's back. It'll be nice.
Yeah, we got to still think of excuses to pod, though. We'll just do news. It's fine. Just read up on Autosport and steal all their news items. I'm trying to see if there's anything here that I put in my notes that's like worth.
Yeah, see if you have any talking about for the race. Otherwise, maybe we can hop off, keep it a good 45-minute Hungarian recap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really have anything.
Give us a 5-star rating.
Right. Rate us and review us. It's amazing.
Maybe we'll see. Find us on Spotify.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. This could work, like just doing it on Sunday directly after the race would probably be best. Otherwise, we'll do it. You know, it like I was
something
saying.
Big news comes out, we'll definitely hop on, put a little 20-30 minute one in
cool.
there.
That'd be cool.
Kind of talk about what's going on.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, would it be better to do – I was thinking about this as I was getting ready to call you. I'm like, man, it's the race is so fresh that, like, I'm not really sure what to talk about yet. Like, it's almost, like, better to have, like, a day to, like, read about it, kind of gather your thoughts, and then, like, on Monday, we do, like, a Monday evening thing.
To me, would that be better? Like, no, for me, no, because even like I was so ready to go at the end of this race.
Oh,
I had
perfect.
Like a patient notes, like I was ready to go. It was fresh in my mind. Me even being an hour or an hour and a half removed probably mentally deleted a few good takes. That
yeah, good.
Had.
Okay, good. That's good to know. Yeah, good.
For me, like ideally if we can match up where we're watching it, even if it's on tape delay at the same time and can immediately hop on, I think that will allow us to get it uploaded sooner too, which for the listeners will be desirable because they're going to finish the race and just want to, you know, devour content. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's one of the good things about one of my favorite podcasts is I know that it'll be ready Monday morning. Like they're like dedicated to it being ready Monday morning. So it's like the very first thing I do every Monday after a race. It's just boop. Favorite podcast.
All right. Well, episode one.
Yeah. You good? You got anything else we need to do? I'll just delete all this, but we can talk about like off the record or off the air. Like, what do you want to do next? Like, well, I guess we don't have a race to talk about, but we can.
Let's just probably like, so you're going to delete this from the pod, I'm assuming, because we're just rambling.
Yeah.
But,
or I can just pause
like,
it.